Thank you for joining the Christian Worship Hour today. We are grateful to be welcomed into your home as we worship the Lord together. I'm Mike Salem. We pray that today's service will enrich your understanding of Scripture and strengthen your walk with Jesus Christ. To help you stay connected with us throughout the week, our comprehensive website at cwh.org offers a variety of resources to encourage and support you, including additional sermons, devotionals, newsletter Bible studies, and our Pray For You page. Now, let's listen as Dad shares the events of the night before Jesus went to the cross in his sermon titled, Night of Agony. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy for the weekends because that's when we get to share with you and to visit with you and just talk to you and just feel your heart beat as we worship the Lord together. And then we think of so many of you that don't know Jesus and you don't never accepted him. And now today, the Holy Spirit, when he'll just be something, he'll say, I just need Jesus, and you just pray and ask him into your heart. And so we just rejoice that we can wonderful work with our wonderful Savior in bringing people to Christ and helping other people get along in life. And today we're going to be preaching a sermon on the night of agony, and that's the night before Jesus goes to the cross. I know that's going to speak to many hearts as we see the loving Savior and what he's done for us. So we're looking at Psalm 71 as our opening scripture today. And the psalmist said, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee I will sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue shall also talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray with the psalmist, and we give you thanks, Lord, for you are always with us. And when the devil tempts us, or when troubles and trials hit us as we go on through life, maybe we're facing loneliness or troubles or trials or whatever it is, you are there, and you deliver us, and you help us because you love us, and we love you. And so bless us in our service today. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're happy that Barb's with us, and she's going to start us out with the old rugged cross made the difference. And God bless you, Barb.
Filled with aimless desperation, without hope, what the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. Thank you. barren walls echoed harshness and anger. Little feet run in terror to hide. Now those walls ring with love, warmth, and laughter. Since the giver of life moved inside, there's a room filled with sad, ashen faces. Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the sight of a saint, there's rejoicing. For life can be sealed in a tomb. In a life bound for heartache and defeat, I will praise Him forever and ever. For the cross made the
Thank you, Barb. And I can say amen to that. The cross made the difference for me. The cross will make the difference for you. What difference will it make? The difference between heaven and hell. Because we're all on the road to destruction. We're all on the road to hell because we're all sinners. And we got to pay for those sins. And then the cross came. Jesus went to that cross and He shed His blood. And the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. There's only one way to pay for those sins. And they got to be blood, and they got to be the sinless Son of God. And He alone came, and He shed His blood to pay for our sins. And when we call on the name of the Lord and ask Him to cleanse us and come into our hearts and take away our sins, by the power of the blood of Christ, He washes us clean, and He clothes us in righteousness. Well, Isaiah puts it so beautiful, where God says, come now to Jesus. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they're going to be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. And the wool is all dirty, isn't it? But when they shear the sheep, it's beautiful, white, glistening, was it taken close to the body. That wool is just beautiful as it can be. And our sins are washed away. Oh, the cross, the old rugged cross. And we're praying that. We just pray all the time on the Christian Worship Hour. If you haven't come to the cross, if you haven't come to Jesus, come today, come now and be born again. And if you have come to Jesus and you're a Christian, rejoice in the cross because our salvation is secure and we can know we're going to heaven. Oh, I could preach a sermon about that wonderful cross. In all of my ministry, I preached it a lot of times. That old rugged cross has always been there. And with the cross, we always have the resurrection. Jesus died, but He was raised again. Well, say, before I get into my sermon, I want to read some of the letters. We get letters all the time. And I say, oh, I wonder if I run out of letters. What'll I do? Maybe I have to make up some letters. No, we just, so many of you write to us, and we're just so happy. So here's some letters. first one comes from Goshen, Indiana. And this person writes and says, I believe your television preaching got my father saved. He died when he was 81, suddenly in his chair. I'd been praying for him to get saved for years. He never told me he accepted Jesus, but he had been watching your TV show for about 2 years before he died, and he would say, I really like that preacher, which was a sign to me that the Lord was speaking to my dad through your sermons and your service. I believe that because of the word you sowed in my dad and God's faithfulness to answer our prayers, I believe the Spirit of God helped him to get saved even at the moment his spirit was leaving his body, if not before. And so, see, this is so nice. If you accept Jesus, tell somebody. Tell your loved ones because they're praying for you. But now here, look at what this man is. He heard our service for 2 years. Brother, he heard about salvation and getting saved. He heard that over and over, didn't he? And then for 2 years, he's a shut-in, and he has time to think. Sits in that chair. He has time to think. For 2 years, the Holy Spirit had time to speak to his heart, and we're just going to believe. I believe that he did just say, Dear Jesus, save my soul. And if he made that, whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I just expect to see him in heaven. But we'll have to wait and see, won't we? Well, let's see here. Sturgis, South Dakota. This is my country. I was raised out in Belle Fouche. And it's just a wonderful, beautiful country. And Sturgis, yeah, used to be our enemy in basketball. And they used to beat the tar out of us. That was in 1940. And they had a tough team, took state tournaments. I remember Sturgis, South Dakota. And when we played them, boy, they give us the works. But boy, we got a lot of good friends there, and we hear from people in Sturgis. Like to hear from some more. Love that country. Love those people. Love you all, really. All right, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I have your DVD, Heart of a Shepherd. It's the best movie I've ever watched. I gave a copy to my daughter, my son, and granddaughter. God bless you and your staff for the wonderful hour every Sunday morning. And the Heart of a Shepherd is a one-hour sermon, and it tells us how to come to Jesus, how to be saved. And that is the story of my life, really. When I was 10 years old, I asked Jesus into my heart. That's 88 years ago, going on 89 years ago. And he's never left me once. I've failed him, but he's never failed me. And oh, I want you to have Jesus too. And you just, whosoever call on the name of the Lord, just say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come in my life and I'll turn from my wicked ways. I'll put them behind me. Now you'll never be perfect. And when you fail, you ask Jesus to forgive you. And he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if we fail the Lord and it hurts our fellowship with Jesus, we ask him to forgive us. And you say, how many times will he do that? Oh, maybe a million times. But he says, where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the wonderful grace of God covers all our sins. Trust Jesus. Call on his name and be saved. Then here's one from Morton, Illinois. I just again want to say thanks for being there all of these years. In 2012, after watching your program, I rededicated my life back to the Lord Jesus. It's amazing to know that Jesus saves us, but he also loves us and desires our friendship or our fellowship. Thank you again for being there. And then, you know, there's a song that goes something like, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Oh, that's a beautiful song. And what it means is when we accept Jesus, he washes away our sins and he names our name in our Lamb Book of Life. But as we live that life, maybe sometimes we drift a little. We get lukewarm. And it doesn't mean we don't lose our soul, but we lose that fellowship, that talking to Jesus. There's not that closeness anymore. And then you come back. And here's a man, he says, in this service, He asked Jesus, he came back to Jesus, and Jesus took him right back. He always will. The wonderful grace of God. Oh, I love to preach about that. Here's Camden, Missouri. Would you please send us 25 copies of the Watch Me Grow pamphlet? Thank you so very much. The pamphlet, the Watch Me Grow pamphlet, is a 12-page booklet, and it talks about when life begins. Life begins at conception. Do you know that the moment that that seed and is joined together, that there's a life that begins, and that it is the sex is decided at that time, and at the time of that conception takes place, we have DNA already. That the miracle of God. So it's a living person, a living soul from the time of conception. Don't you dare touch it, because that given by God Almighty, and that is made in the image of God. And when you strike at that little baby and that little tiny thing, as little as it is, when you strike at that, you strike at God Almighty. You got to be pretty stupid to do that. I'm going to tell you, get away from this abortion stuff. And live for the Lord, and let others live for the Lord. And that God will give life, and God will take life. That's his business, not our business. Okay, now that's not the sermon, so don't turn it off. We're just getting started here. Here's one from Fauquay, Verena, North Carolina. And they write, I am blessed by seeing Pastor Sermons, Pastor Salem's teachings. I am disabled with PTSD, and have limited funds. I'm happy to make an offering, but unable to at this moment. May I ask for your kindness in sending me a DVD copy of The Heart of a Shepherd? I further ask for prayers of healing and faithful wisdom. Thank you in advance, my dear brother. And here is a dear brother, disabled, and he wants a copy of The Heart of a Shepherd. He's in low on cash. And you know what we do with those friends? We send them out free and postpaid. We send them out to anyone that if you don't have the money, you write to us. We'll say, and you know what'll happen? Just sure as the world, we'll get somebody will send some money that says, this is some money. I want to help somebody to get that film, A Heart of a Shepherd. And it's the ones that encourages you. And it tells about the love of God and the goodness of God and the greatness of God. It's all God. And that's why God blesses it. Oh, yes, we sent this out. We sent this long time ago, the minute we got it. Here's one that says address unknown. And I don't usually print those letters that are address unknown. They don't sign their name. They don't tell who it is. But it's such a good question that even if you won't tell us your name, ding, bust it, we're gonna answer it anyway. Because it's something you have to hear. This person writes, I'm curious to know if you believe in the rapture. Some TV pastors talk about it all the time. Other churches don't. What do you believe? I don't know where to stand on it. I guess it doesn't affect our salvation. Well, and I read this because I know that other people kind of thinking about this. Now, this person says, it doesn't affect our salvation. That's exactly right. Doesn't exactly right. If you believe in the rapture, all right, and if you don't believe in the rapture, if you believe in Jesus, you're saved. But you ought to believe in the rapture because I believe in the rapture, but it's because it's in the Bible. And if you want to read about it, you get 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Write this down. And it's verses 16 to 18. And it simply says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. You say, well, the rapture isn't in the Bible. The word isn't in the Bible. Well, it doesn't matter. The teaching is there, for goodness sake. We have the Holy Trinity. The word Trinity isn't in the Bible, but the Holy Trinity is just part of. You better believe in the Holy Trinity or you're not saved, because you have to believe that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God, second person of the Holy Trinity. And so, yes, there's a rapture. And then there's some things that happen after the rapture, the great tribulation and the terrible things. And then the coming of the Lord in all of his glory and might, and the whole world will see him. And he'll judge, and there'll be the judgment of the great white throne, and the devil and his angels will be cast into the lake of fire. And if we don't have Jesus, that's exactly where we'll go. And I'm going to tell you something else, friend. You decide where you're going. I can't decide for you. Your wife can't decide for you, your husband, as the case might be. Most of the time, it's the men that hang back. I've been preaching almost 75 years. I've worked with a lot of people over that time, and usually it's the man that hangs back. I can think of three cases where the man went first, accepted the Lord first. The rest, always the women. I think they got more sense, or they got a tender heart or something. And so I always say, tell your wife. She'll really rejoice, and he'll take her to the Lord. And then, if you don't have Jesus, you're going to be with the devil. And I don't want to be with the devil. I know enough about him the way it is now, and clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and I can fight back a little bit. But boy, is he a tough nut. Well, here's one more I want to share from London, England. I just like this. Listen to this. He says, hi. I got introduced to the Christian Worship Hour through friends in Pierce, South Dakota. They played your DVD, The Heart of a Shepherd, while I was there with them, and they gave me a copy to bring back to England. Now I am subscribed to you on your YouTube channel. I particularly like the pastor's talk on small churches. And then he says, I lead a small church in England, and the same issues exist over here. You do a great job, so thank you for your ministry. And so he's got a little, I have an hour seminar on encouragement to small church pastors. And when they're a kind of little church and they're having to have times, and it's a lot of help. And you can, it's free and postpaid. Just say, I'd like the DVD on small churches or the churches, and we'll send it along. And he says something that interests us. He says that the same here, and he says they're just the same, having the same problems here that you have over there. Well, that's exactly right, because it's human nature and it's all the same. So you write to us. You say, well, and I'm going to tell you where to write. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I'm giving out a bit slower because we have shortwave radio, and we have people, 95% of the world gets us on shortwave radio, and they don't have a screen because they're with a little tiny radio, because it's against the law to listen to Christian music and Christian teaching and preaching, and so they have to kind of keep it silent and keep it quiet. But you write to us, and we'll send you if you want to have this on pastors in small churches, if you want the one on the shepherd. And then another thing, we have a little Bible study, and we send it out every month, free and postpaid. It's called The New Song. And you write to us and tell us you'd like to have it, and we'll send it to you. And we're happy to do it this month. You know, this month is about, I Know My Redeemer Lives. I know because of Easter this month. I Know My Redeemer Lives. And so you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you can send us a gift, we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so you just say, dear Lord, is this ministry something I should support? And the Lord will say yes, or he'll say no. And then you say, if he says yes, say how much, and be sure to put in what he says. And then you send it, and you say, well, I don't know how they'll spend it. I don't know I can trust them. Well, we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, and they drive us crazy. They're all over the place, but everything is above board. So you're right. We'd love that. So now what we have to do, you send us a gift. And so you do that while Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray first, then she'll play. And then you pay as the Lord lays on your heart. If you do that, well, I've been getting along that way for over 40 years, and we'll carry on for Jesus. So, dear Lord, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Luke chapter 22. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there. Luke 22 and verse 29. And Jesus had been with his disciples and had the upper room and all of that. And now he's going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going to pray, and then he's going to go to before Pilate, and then he's going to the cross. And so we're reading the part here where he's going out and he's going to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, Gethsemane. Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthened him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So we're going to pray. And in our prayer this today, we're praying for the persecuted church in Tunisia. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this story. It's sad in a way as we see Jesus going to all this suffering. And what's he suffering for? He's suffering because he's going to take our sins. He had no sins of his own, and he was perfect from all eternity past, and he will be all eternity in the future. And yet here he is going through all of this agony and suffering, and as he's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, and he's doing it because he's going to take our sins in his own body and carry them to the cross and pay for them with his blood. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We can't put into words how much we thank you for that, because we would put our soul and go into hell if you hadn't made a way of escape for us. But you paved the way, and all we need to do is to receive you and walk with you. And so, Lord, we just pray for you. And then we pray for our persecuted church, Lord. Many of them are worshiping with us right now, shortwave radio. And they're gathered together in different places to worship and help them to know we just love them and we admire them. And we encourage them to stand true, stand true. And I wonder sometimes if I would be in their shoes, if I would stand true. And I just don't know, Lord. I hope so, but I don't know. I don't know what I do. But I know what I want to do. But these folks, these brothers and sisters are in the middle of it right now. And some of their friends and relatives and loved ones and family have died because they stood for you. So bless them in Tunisia, in all parts, but especially Tunisia today. So now, Lord, use this service. Use it to honor Jesus, to glorify your name. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. And before I preach a sermon, Melissa's going to sing for us, Were You There? And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. the tomb. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave?
Thank you, Melissa. And that's a good question, isn't it? He went to that place and he went to that tomb because he loved us. He gave his life for us. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for you and for me. But you know, it's all, and then he's raised from the grave the third day, just like he said. But it's all in vain unless we open our heart to him, make him the Lord of our life, call upon his name, and follow him the best we can. None of us are going to be perfect, but we strive for perfection. We strive to be like Jesus. Jesus is our model. He's perfect. And we're going to fall short many times. But when we fail, we just ask him to forgive us. And in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he'll wash them all away. We have perfect fellowship with the Lord. But we're thinking about this night when Jesus went to the Gethsemane. And Luke writes about it. And he says he comes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he tells of how that being in an agony. You know, I know that some of you folks who are listening in today or watching with us or worshiping with us, you're having a day of agony. Maybe you had a loved one just went. Maybe you've had some great sorrow in your life. Maybe things have gone so bad, and so we have this a time of agony. And there's so much agony in the world today, and we hear from so many people that are having real troubles and trials, and they're in anguish and suffering and hardship, and we think about them, oh, dear God, help them, and we pray for them because that's a part of this life. Jesus says, you know, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. And we just talk about the persecuted church in Tunisia. But we have a list of 50 places that we pray for. And we go right down that list. And we'll come on your name and pray for you for your area. And because you're in a time of agony and suffering. God will give us strength and courage and help to carry us through. And so it's not strange then that when Jesus came to this Gethsemane, that he has this time of agony, and because it tells us he has to agonize to be our Savior. He has to pay a price to be our Savior. He's the perfect Son of God, and he has no sin, and he's never sinned, and in thought, in word, in deed, and he's absolutely perfect, and he's going to come into this world and be our Savior. And there's a time of agony and suffering for Jesus. And having suffered himself, Jesus then is tempted, and he's tried, and he goes through the hard times of life and tempted and tied just the way we are. And then we are told that in his agony in Gethsemane, there appeared a great angel from heaven to strengthen him. And we don't know who that angel was. Maybe it was Gabriel. You remember Gabriel came, and he came to the Virgin Mary, and he tells about she's going to be blessed to God, and she's going to bring forth this son. There's going to be Jesus, and I call his name Jesus. And maybe it was Gabriel, maybe it was another angel. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells us he will give his angels charge over thee. And so when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has an angel to watch over you. And he goes with you all the way to the grave, all the way through this world until you go to the death and pass over to the other side in the glory. That angel is there to help us. You remember, the psalmist writes in the 23rd Psalm, He says that when you accept Jesus, and he says, trusting Jesus, trusting God, and he says, I shall not want, and I have the green pastures, and I have all of the rest. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I remember once somebody writing about that, and they says, goodness and mercy as the name of two angels, one's name goodness and one's name's mercy. And when you accept Jesus and you become his child, he says, I want you too to follow that person until they enter heaven all the days of their life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, that's what we have when we have Jesus. We have this wonderful Savior to help us and strengthen us. And so here Jesus comes now, and he's been in the upper room. He's been with his disciples, and now he's coming to the Mount of Olives. He has to leave Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, and then there's just a little valley, and there's a stream of water that goes through that valley. And it's called the Kidron, the brook Kidron. And he crossed over that bridge, and little bridge, and he went up the other side, and the other side is the Mount of Olives. I've seen that. It's a side of a mountainside, and it's filled with olive trees. And some of them are hundreds of years old, gnarled things and all, but they're beautiful. And people have places there they go to pray. And Jesus had a special prayer, place to go to pray. And so at the gateway of the garden, we come see Jesus coming. And he's coming, and lo and behold, he has eight of his disciples. And when you look at there, you can recognize each one of them. Here they are, eight of them. Andrew, Bartholomew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Matthew, Philip, Simon the Zealot, Thaddeus, Thomas. But where's the rest? Where's Judas? Where is he? Well, Judas has just gotten 30 pieces of silver. He's made an agreement, and he's come to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going to kiss Jesus. And he tells these men that have come to take his life. Now they said, well, how will we tell him from the rest of his disciples? And Judas says, I'll give him a kiss. Isn't that wicked as it can be? I'll mark him so you can kill him. And I'll tell you which one it is so you won't make the wrong man. I'll give him a kiss. I shudder. I shudder at the wickedness of this man. But he's been controlled by Satan. He's given by the devil himself. So Judas isn't there. But when you ask the others, there's three missing yet. And where are they? Well, they're Peter, James, and John. And where are these three? They're in another little group where Jesus called them to go to this little place. And he says, now I'm going to go deeper into this grove of trees. And I want to pray by myself. But I want you three. He picked those Peter, James, and John. God just knew that they were special people to him. You remember when the little girl Jairus' daughter was dead, Jesus goes to raise him, and he takes with him into that death chamber with that little corpse there. He takes Peter, James, and John, kind of special people with him, and raises her from the grave, raises her from the dead, and the spirit returns, and she lives and is given back to her father. What a day of rejoicing. When they come to the Mount of Transfiguration, and then Jesus is going to be transfigured for them. And he shines so bright they can't look upon him. Who does he take with him at the mount? Peter, James, and John. So now Peter, James, and John are here in Gethsemane. And Jesus says, now you pray for me. I'm going to agonize. This is a night of agony. And I need you to pray for me. And so he goes under those branches of those olive trees. And then he prays, and he prays for a while, and then he comes back to Peter, James, and John, and there they are praying. Oh, no, they're not praying. They're sleeping. They're tired, and they go to sleep. And they're not praying for Jesus. They ought to be praying for Jesus and not praying for themselves, but they went to sleep. And so these three highly honored of Jesus had taken with them. He has to wake them up. He has to get them up and get them going. And then he goes again. Jesus goes again. And then here he is when he comes back. The second time he comes back, here they are. Sleep on now. He says, he's sleeping again. And he wakes them up, and then he finally says, sleep on. You're not going to wake up. You're not going to be with us. sleep on. We have to go. We have to go on. We have to do this thing. We have to go to the cross. Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's had that with his upper room with his people. Now he's praying with his disciples, all of them, except Judas isn't there. And then he's going to go to face Pilate. And then he's going to have every indignity in the world heaped upon him. And he's going to suffer and be betrayed and turned down. And he's going to be, they're going to take off his, make a thorns of crown of thorns and jam it on his head. And those thorns were as sharp as a razor edge. And they pierced his brow and they pierced his head. And how he suffered, and they shamed him and everything he can do. And so this Lord Jesus. But all of this hasn't taken place. And he goes and then he sees the disciples. And he says, "It just, all right, you're going to sleep. Sleep on." And then Jesus goes back and he talks. And he talks to the Father and he prays. He says, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Oh, we ought to listen to that. We ought to pray every prayer we have, "Not my will, but thine be done." And we have seen people and they don't want God's will to be done if it's not going to be good. They want that person to live and be delivered, and they don't want to say, "Thy will be done." But that's the way we have to pray. And he says, "I want your will to be done, not as my will, but as thou wilt." We give that to the Lord Jesus every time we pray. And God will have the best way and have the right way. And when we get to heaven, we'll see that all things work together for good to those who love the God of the Lord. And we'll see that it was right and it was right and proper. We'll understand it so. So finding him asleep, then he says, "No, you can't pray." And so then he goes and prays to the Father. And he says he prays that the cup can pass away. But if not, then he'll take the cup and he'll drink the whole thing, the dregs of all. And he'll go to that cross alone. And so the Lord Jesus has this time when he says then after he prays the last time. And then he says to them, "Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Now he's ready for the cup. He's going to take this cup. He's going to drink this cup. He says, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But," he says, "the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink of it? And so I'm going to do it. If the Father wants me to do it, I'm going to do it." And so he takes that cup. What was that cup of agony? What was that cup that was so bitter? What was that cup that God did, that Jesus did? Well, if there was some way around it, if there's any other possible way around it, let's take that route. But there wasn't any other way. What was it? Well, some people say it was his physical sufferings that he was shrinking from. And he didn't want to go because of it. He wouldn't want to suffer for Jesus. He doesn't want to suffer for the things of God. But that can't be the case. Because we have people today, martyrs, right now while we're having this service, and they go to the cross and they die for Jesus rejoicing. And we have stories of martyrs who singing praises to Jesus, praising Jesus as they're being burned to death or put to death. No, Jesus wasn't afraid of the suffering. As a matter of fact, Hebrew says that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the sufferings. Jesus endured the suffering. He rejoiced that he could go and take our place. That's how much he loved you. And then we say, "You need to come to Jesus and accept him and call upon his name." You say, "I don't need Jesus. He loved you so much, he died for you." And you say, "I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'll die for my own sins." I've had people tell me, some of these fellas think they're so tough. I've seen some of them turn at the end, but a lot of them never did. And they'll say, "I'm a self-made man." And then they worship their creator. And what a little tiny patch of a thing that makes. And they'll say, "I don't have any argument with God. I've done my best. I'm better than some of your church members. I've heard it all. See, I'm sick of it." And Jesus goes, and he goes to that place of suffering and death and indignity and terribleness. and he did it for you, and he did it for me. And to reject him, you're trampling on the blood of Christ. And that's why God is angry with you. And that's why it's going to be a lake of fire. Just sure as the world, you reject my son, then all right. You want the consequences, they're your choice. God isn't choosing. We have a teaching going around that God picks out the ones that are saved and lost. No such thing. Scripture says he's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to him. And the whole thing lies on you. You'll take Jesus and find salvation, or you reject Jesus and you'll find the lake of fire. That's exactly what it is. And it's all in your court and nobody can do it for you. And I'm just praying in my heart, and all of our team is praying, and I know Christians everywhere are praying, that you'll just say, oh, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross for my sins. I ask you, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry I sinned against you. I ask you to please come into my heart. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I'll fellowship with him and he with me. And so you say, yes, Jesus, I just feel like, yes, you are there. You're calling me. Jesus says, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men unto me. He's drawing you right now. He's drawing all men, and you can, women and children, and you can accept him or reject him. And so I'm praying you'll come to right now and say it with me, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, and I'll serve you the best I can. You're going to turn from those old ways, and I'll follow you and thank you, Jesus. And you'll find salvation. So Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't dying. He wasn't suffering in agony because he had to die. He rejoiced that he could die. And then he might think, well, that Jesus was there because he was thinking about how that the mobs would be there and how they're going to treat him and how the indignity of it all and how they wouldn't treat him right and he would be in a terrible condition. And he wasn't thinking of that. But no, he was there because he took the cup of agony because he loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then what was in that cup? Oh, it was because he loved us, and he took that cup. And that's a mystery, and we don't understand. And we never will understand him until we get to glory, how that he could do that thing for us. He gave himself for us, and we accepted that gift. Jesus, I do love you. And when I think of what you did for me, and how you saved me from a Christless eternity, I am more than glad to give my life to you. And I'm going to serve you the best I can. That's what everyone will do. Yes, I'll serve you because, oh, how the Lord suffered for me. Somebody put it like that, like this. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. We know that the Holy Scriptures tell us that he's bearing our sins and taking our sins. He was tasting death for every one of us. He was drinking the cup that you should have drank from, that I should have drank from. No, he came because he loved us, and he took all the dregs of that cup, all in himself, all of the sins of the world. Can you imagine this? That this holy, pure Jesus, who never had a single sin in all of eternity past and present and future, who never had one sin, even a thought of a sin, a shadow of sin, and how he must hate sin, and the wickedness of man, and how that into that pure, sinless body, he took all of the sins of all of the Old Testament and all of the sins of the New Testament, the wickedest people in the world. But I'll tell you, the wickedest sin in the whole world is when you refuse Jesus. It's refusing Jesus. God says, you know, I give you my Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. but the wrath of God abideth on him. It all hinges on Jesus. And I don't care what your sins, whether the world calls them big or little, the big sin is you rejected Jesus. As many as received to him, to them gave eternal life. But to those who rejected him, eternal death, your choice. So this wonderful Jesus here, bearing our cross, going to the cross. You say you don't understand how he could do that. I don't understand it either. I don't have any idea how that could be. Maybe we'll understand it in heaven. I don't know. But we can understand the love of God and the grace of God. And God says no matter what your sins might be, this wonderful Jesus will come and he will pray that, take and pay that price. He'll pay it in full. And I have people tell me, oh, if you knew my sins, I know he'll never forgive me. You know, I think that's the way Peter probably felt when he denied the Lord. You know, he cursed and said he didn't know God, didn't know Jesus. And then he went out and he wept bitterly. And he thought, oh, I blew it. He's done with me. He told me I'd sinned, and I told him I'd never deny him, but I denied him 3 times, and I swore to God when I denied him, he'll never have any part of me. But the first thing Jesus did when he was raised from the grave, what did he do? He told the women, go and tell the disciples and Peter. And isn't that beautiful? Peter, he went back to fishing. That was his profession. He thought it was all done. And Jesus says, you go back and tell my disciples and be sure to tell Peter that I want to see him at the shore of Galilee. And there he was. And Peter ended up giving his life, crucified head down, as the scriptures tells us. He says, I don't have the right even to die the way Jesus did. I'll die head down. Sounds like Peter, doesn't it? Oh, that's why he went to the cross. That's why he agonized. Somebody put it this way. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never to my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed a charge to me with his death, though not a word he spoke. A second look he gave, which said, I'll freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid to die that thou mightst live. That's what he did. He agonized for you and he agonized for me. And so you make that prayer. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you all my life. Thank you. Now, if you do that, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.net. And we need .com. We have to have your help and your prayers. And now we're going to pray for all of you. Dear Jesus, we're praying for those who are having a time of agony and suffering and hardship. We pray that they may know that you are there with them and you suffered for them long before they ever had sufferings, and that you will help them through and you'll never give them troubles that they can't bear. Help them to know that you love them. Help those that have come to you to rejoice and follow you. And bless those, Lord, the young people. Help them in their decisions and the children that they'll come. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you write to us now if you can. I want to give it to the shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you can't send anything, you can pray. That's the most important thing. Pray for this ministry. Pray that we'll honor Jesus. Pray that God's Spirit will talk to many and that they'll respond. And the multitudes will come to Jesus and we'll see them in heaven and we'll gather together in heaven and rejoice. Just be sure to do that. And don't forget this. God loves you. God loved you so much he gave his son. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I want to tell you that I love you and I would do anything if I just wish I could preach better. I wish I could say it better. You just have to have Jesus and you come. And if you drifted away, you come. He's waiting for you because it's all love. It's love of God. But that love of God ends at the grave. If you don't sell it now, it'll never be changed. So God loves you, everyone. And we'll look for you next weekend. We're going to be talking about this wonderful Savior.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.